First a lament. It looks like one of our famous centres for brain research is to be no more. Protests about this have come from around the world. One I've received from Berlin has said this.
When all's said and done, this would be an enormous tragedy for Australian science. This should have the status of Sir Donald Bradman in terms of what it stands for in the history of Australian neuroscience. And I would hazard a bet that if the general public were aware of the cultural indignity about to be perpetrated, there would be general uproar. I implore you to reverse this decision. Professor Matthew Larkham, Humboldt University of Berlin.
And so I have asked two ABC colleagues for a personal comment. The first is David Mark, our national sport reporter, whose father was a leading researcher at the threatened centre. David.
John Eccles was the head of Otago University's Department of Physiology when he made his breakthrough discovery, which ultimately led to his Nobel Prize. He was later knighted, and as befits a giant in the field, his name was given to the Eccles Institute of Neuroscience at the ANU. He was, after all, the university's first Nobel laureate. But no more. The university plans to cut all neuroscience research in a bid to save around $100 million. There's a direct line from Eccles to my father, Richard Mark, who, like so many Kiwis, began his scientific career at Eccles' old stomping ground, Otago. Dad's mentor, Archie McIntyre, another pioneer of Australian neuroscience, had worked under Eccles at Otago and then succeeded him in 1951 when Eccles moved to the ANU. My father had originally been following in his dad's footsteps, studying medicine, but McIntyre inspired him to take up research, which he loved, but which my grandfather opposed. To ease the way, McIntyre wrote to my grandfather. It was a charming letter outlining why he thought Richard would make an excellent researcher and why it was a valid career. That support was crucial, and it was a lesson Dad never forgot, as he in turn mentored dozens of aspiring neuroscientists. He finished his medical degree but never practiced. Science was his passion. My father died 18 years ago. But if he were alive, he would be furious that the ANU, the university where he spent the bulk of his career, was pulling the pin on the discipline he'd made his life's work. He was, above all, a believer in research for its own sake, unencumbered by the need of some future profit, but rather knowing that blue sky thinking was the basis for so much scientific progress. And he would be shattered for the students who can no longer study neuroscience at the ANU. After all, he helped to set up the ANU and Australia's first undergraduate honours neuroscience course, with Ian Morgan and Fife Bygrave. One of his PhD students, who later became a collaborator, Kathy Leamy, said of Dad's group and teaching that it provided an environment of respect and trust, intellectual and motivational support, where a student could really flourish. One of Dad's original postdoc students and long-time collaborators, Leslie Rogers, remembers Dad asking colleagues each afternoon, "What have you discovered today?" It was, she said, his way of sharing the excitement of being at the forefront of his field with like-minded scientists. He was a creative man, a musician and a poet, and saw science in the same light as a creative pursuit. He tried to inspire others with the same sense that science was as much art as it was logic and empirical grunt work. Richard Mark made his way to the university in 1975 when he was appointed the foundation chair in the Department of Behavioural Biology within the Research School of Biological Sciences. He was there for the next 25 years. He began with a staff of three, but slowly built up a team of collaborators and students, both within his department and in the ANU's broader neuroscience community, including his longtime partner, Lauren Marotti, Jeff Henry, Ray Johnson, Michael Ibbotson, Phil Waite and Stephen Ho, among many others. His area of interest was the development of neural systems in the brain and plasticity, long before it was a fashionable term. Those interests manifested themselves into research on how memories are formed, as well as the development of vision, hearing and touch. One of his cognitive leaps was to realise that marsupials, and in particular wallabies, could provide a huge advantage for study over other mammals because the young developed in a pouch. It made it possible to study very early stages of development. He died in 2003, But earlier that year, he was awarded the Centenary Medal for services to Australian society and science in developmental neurobiology. Leslie Rogers said Richard Mark left a legacy to Australian neuroscience that will live on, not only in those who knew and worked with him, but also in those who study his publications. What is now so sad is that those future neuroscientists might not be studying at the ANU, despite the rich legacy that my father and so many others before and after him created. So what will become of that legacy now?
Well, that was my colleague David Mark from the ABC Sports Department, who has a family connection, as you heard, with the department of the ANU. Another colleague is Jonathan Webb, who's of course the editor of science for the ABC, and he worked in the lab, well, not that lab, but another lab in Britain as a brain scientist. Jonathan Webb, were you surprised by the news?
I was disappointed, Robin, that's for sure. Maybe not hugely surprised, because I'm very aware that the university sector in Australia is really, really struggling, but definitely personally very disappointed. As you say, I studied neuroscience, not at ANU, but the name of John Eccles, whose institute is facing closure here, and neuroscience research specifically at ANU suggested to be the thing that gets cut. Yeah, that's my field. So it really hurts to see that kind of cut being made. The name of Eccles looms extremely large when you study neuroscience. He shared a Nobel Prize with Hodgkin and Huxley, and their name literally sits on the model, on the equations that help us understand in detail how single neurons work, and Eccles was the one that understood how they join together, how a synapse works, and how one neuron can make the following neuron at one of these joins either more likely or less likely to fire itself if the preceding neuron fires. So those connections are just fundamental to how we understand how the brain works. And that work that he did, which won the Nobel, happened at ANU.
Yes, we had a portrait of Sir Jack Eccles in the Science Show just a matter of weeks ago during the summer. Any big reaction from overseas, some of your colleagues?
I did get messages from overseas, former colleagues and still friends working in neuroscience. There's a bit of outrage. You know, looking at Australia from the outside, they think, oh, you seem to have survived the pandemic pretty well. The economy seems to be travelling well. What on earth is happening that you're shutting down this institute that's named after Eccles and that has alumni in senior positions in neuroscience around the world? And now there's the suggestion that not only will they pull the plug on neuroscience research, but their masters in neuroscience will be closed down. And myself and many friends and colleagues are graduates of masters in neuroscience, some from that specific one at ANU. So yeah, there is concern and a little bit of outrage and curiosity at exactly what's happening. But I think it points to the fact that although Australia generally is travelling pretty well, the research sector and the university sector are in a lot of trouble. And I guess what ANU would say is, well, maybe we had to cut something. So how do you go about figuring out what to cut? It's an incredibly difficult position to be in. And the view that they've outlined in their report is that although some of their neuroscience research was very high quality, it wasn't of a scale that made it competitive globally with other dedicated brain institutes. And if there's no additional money coming in, which it certainly doesn't look like there is, then they can't expand it. So if it can't compete, they're doing the opposite instead.
Yes, it's quite surprising. We always think of the ANU, the National University in Canberra, as one of the best off, and when they're closing down famous departments, maybe it's a sign of things to come. And also, a couple of weeks ago, we had someone from the Science and Technology Australia, Misha Schubert, talking about the forthcoming budget and suggesting that $2.4 billion be put into science to bring us up to OECD standards. Does that strike you as a good idea?
It would certainly make a difference, yeah. The previous budget did put some money back into research, but there's still this huge, huge loss of income for the university sector. And there's a really long history to that. In recent years, government spending on research has only covered around about a third of the overall money that universities are spending on research. And people probably generally think of research as being publicly funded. But in Australia, the majority of research spend has actually been found by universities themselves, because the government support by international standards, has been low. But, you know, universities, famously, not idiots, and as you would probably hope, they've gone and found a way to fund it. And a lot of that funding has come by cross-subsidising, if you like, from other bits of their business, and in particular, international students coming and doing courses and paying high fees to do so. The government hasn't intervened. No one said that was a terrible idea, but some would argue that universities have become overly reliant on that money. And then suddenly 2020 happens and the rug gets completely pulled out from that education export industry, and universities are really struggling. There's been thousands of job cuts. Universities Australia says 17,000 jobs lost last year in the research sector. And what do they do about it? I mean, there was a little bit of support from the government, but universities were specifically excluded from claiming JobKeeper, even though any other business, big or small, that had that sort of loss of income was able to claim government supports. Universities weren't. So lots of universities, ANU is not alone here, are in incredibly difficult positions and are having to make cuts to programs, jobs, and courses.
Jonathan Webb, ABC science editor, who did brain research at Oxford, and before him, national sport reporter David Mark. Perhaps the new federal science minister, Christian Porter, will step in and save the day. What do you think? The Science Show on RN.